Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. As we really get into the holiday spirit here with the, you know, the Thanksgiving weekend and such, and all those good things going on as we lead up to Christmas and New Year's and into a brand new year. It's been a rather interesting year. We've had a bunch of interesting guests, and I do mean that in a very good way, over the course of 2010, and we look forward to bringing you a lot of great shows for 2011, too, here at the Advertising Show. So thank you for listening. Thank you for those who share it with their friends. And also thank you for a company called Audible.com that has partnered up with the Advertising Show here in 2010. Has a killer product, and they thought, well, why not lay it on the Advertising Show and allow the folks who listen to this show to be benefited as well. Right, Brad?
That is correct. It is Audible.com who is bringing you today's show. They're a great company. You've probably been hearing us talk about Audible.com and the wonderful opportunity for our Advertising Show listeners. It's a free audiobook download that also combines a free 14-day trial, and it's real simple. You just go to audiblepodcast.com/adshow and sign up. It's really that easy. If you're into reading books, and of course, if you're into listening to the Advertising Show and other entertainment programs through your iPod or MP3 player, it's just that simple. You can go to audible.com and download the free 14-day trial if you simply do a little alteration in your login, and that is by going to audiblepodcast.com/adshow. They have New York Times bestsellers, art and entertainment, fiction, nonfiction, audiobooks for you to download. So go to audiblepodcast.com/adshow, and as they say, Ray, sign up today.
That's a good thing. You know, they had the one of the ads they had featured was the new Rolling Stones guy. He wrote a new book, and they had him featured as part
of Richards.
Keith Richards. Apparently, a lot of people love that book, and that's one of the books. So it's pretty cool what you can get there at audible.com. We thank you guys for being a part of the show. Hey, by the way, Bob Bloom is with us today. Bob is the author of a new book called The New Experts: Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. That would be, I'd like it, I'm going to go get it, I got it, and oh God, I bought it. What am I going to do now? No, I don't know what that is. We'll find out more. And as a widely respected authority on business growth, he was U.S. Chairman and CEO of Publicis Worldwide, the centerpiece of the $4.6 billion global marketing services company. Billion. He helped craft and implement the growth strategies for some of the things that we use every day, including BMWs, L'Oreal, Nestle, and Southwest Airlines, not to mention T-Mobile. And he's also taken care of us in the medicine department, Novartis, Theraflu, and TriMedic. So we've got the book out there now. We'll talk to Bob here in just a few moments. Jeremy Kent is our weekly guest here as a contributor and our European news correspondent, and we'll be happy to talk to and find out what's going on over there in just a few moments with Jeremy Kent as well on the Advertising Show. Of recent news, Brad, I had this on my mind, and I thought it was rather interesting. As you know, the Carnival Cruise ship that recently went out to sea and then caught on fire. Now, it wasn't a bad fire, but it was bad enough, basically, so that they had no propulsion, no electricity, no running water, no hot food, yada, yada, yada. And I thought it was rather interesting to see how they handled that. And to date, I really haven't seen anything that they've done to kind of help people feel better about that Carnival brand. And that's what they're suggesting in Media Post News. They're saying the buzz continues, even though the ship that cost hundreds to face several days of unsavory conditions. For Carnival, it appears to be business as usual, with no mention of the incident on the website's main page, but the cruise line may have some work ahead to restore its image and entice passengers back on board. And I think I told you before, Brad, about the incident that we had on Carnival, where during when we were getting off the ship and such, after an incredibly rough time at sea coming back from Mexico, where literally the boat was flying in and out of the water in between the waves. That following morning, as we docked in the Galveston, the port of Galveston, we had to make way for the dead body that they rolled out in front of us. They were keeping in the cooler. And it's like the carnival sent me a thing that says, what was your experience like? And there was nowhere on that experience to say, well, what did you bring a dead body, you know, in front of all the passengers for? So what do you think about that after that long diatribe?
You know, I'm not sure, going back to your issue off of San Diego, the ship that port out of San Diego, it's such a bad idea to just kind of let that, you know, be a quiet situation. I'm not sure what they could say right now that would help what truly was a unusual situation. Unlike BP, when, you know, they had their problem, and I think it you mentioned frequently on past shows, Ray, and I agree. You know, you see that, and it kind of reminds you the commercials that they were running. It kind of added to the irritation. I think when Toyota came out right after their problems and tried to, you know, say, oh, we're a wonderful company, we're quality-oriented and so forth, rather than laying low in both cases, would have been, I would have thought, better thinking there. In this case, you know, they gave the passengers free tickets for a future, as well as refunded their tickets, which, I mean, come on, what else can you do there?
Well, you can't
but
really do anything
in terms
else,
of,
no.
In terms of coming online or doing some TV spots that say, this is the only fire that's happened in the past 30 years or whatever it's been, I don't know. But it doesn't happen that often. It was kind of a freak deal. Probably better just to be quiet about it and let everybody forget about it.
Okay, I see your point. I don't know. I thought it was rather interesting the way they didn't do anything, and we still, to my knowledge, I haven't seen anything about the cruise. I suppose if we stop talking about it, it will go away.
Did you go to the guy's funeral that you got off in Galveston? I'm curious.
No.
No.
I didn't know him. Yeah.
No.
So,
well, you don't know. Maybe you did know him. Maybe you were at the bar with him a few nights before.
Well, you know, that's very true. And we both had the sushi, and I knew that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay?
And you were able to handle it.
Boy, talk about a strong constitution or something like that, right? Jeremy Kent, who's all about strong constitutions, I guess. No, not really. He's all about the European news desk here. And we've got Jeremy on the advertising show coming up in just a moment. Bob Bloom, too, here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Advertising show powered by Schiphol.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And a great platform called Tenancy. Check it out. It'll really kick the you-know-what out of your current website, if you know what I mean.
Hello and a warm welcome to the European News Desk. I'm Jeremy Kent. Coming up this week, there'll be a judicial review of the Digital Economy Act, the public hasn't bought into BT Vision, and Max Power is wound down. Before being ousted from power, the British Labour Party rushed through controversial legislation addressing copyright and IP in the internet age. The Digital Economy Act contains sweeping powers designed to protect rights holders but struck at the very core of an open internet. There are compelling arguments on both sides of the debate, and in a recent court action, BT and TalkTalk have won the right to a judicial review of the Act on the basis that it was insufficiently scrutinised while it was fast-tracked through Parliament. BT has also been in the headlines for its on-demand TV service, BT Vision. Despite a $45 million marketing push, it has only managed to add 53,000 subscribers in the last 8 months. As part of the revised offer, BT recently added two of Sky TV's sports channels, but of 520,000 BT subscribers, just 50,000 took the new sports package. BT admitted that the take-up was disappointing, but put a positive spin on the campaign by claiming that it was a success for BT Broadband, which saw its profits rise 13% to $700 million for the second quarter of this year. Staying with the media, it remains a harsh climate out there, and Bauer Publishing has decided to drop its custom car title, Max Power, and the accompanying website. Rather than killing off the title completely, Bauer said that it would be suspending it, allowing it to return for one-off special issues. The last regular issue will be the February 2011 edition. Max Power was launched in 1993, but its circulation has dropped dramatically in recent years, with the Audit Bureau of Circulation giving it an average of just 20,500 readers last year. On the positive side, Bauer recently tested a new men's lifestyle magazine called Gazetta. 500 copies were distributed free of charge, but no announcement has been made on whether or not Gazetta will make it onto the newsagent's shelves. This is Jeremy Kent at the European News Desk for the Advertising Show.
Jeremy Kent, thank you so much for the really cool stuff that you generate out of your reports here at the Advertising Show. Our European news correspondent, it's Jeremy Kent. Bob Bloom is a special guest. We told you he was the author of the new book, The New Experts Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. That's not the only one he's written. He's written The Inside Advantage, the strategy that unlocks hidden growth to your business, published back in 07. But I got to tell you, out of New York, Bob, it is great to have you here this weekend on The Advertising Show. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, and I appreciate your having me.
Yeah, Ray and I were speaking before you came on today. We both are big fans of your book. Wonderful, wonderfully written book, I might add. A lot of how-to books are, I don't know, for the lack of a better term, a bit textbookish. And in your particular case, Bob, your book has real-world examples, and you cite companies, and you give some really down-to-earth examples for people to be able to remember and to illustrate your point. Before we get started talking about your book, aside from writing new book as well as the other book that Ray mentioned, are you really retired, Bob?
Well, I retired from the first career, which was a long career in advertising. I started as an entrepreneur, as you may know, in Dallas, and we were making some progress, and then some fellows came along and decided to start an airline. I thought it was a crazy idea. It turned out to be Southwest Airlines, and that put us on fire, and I bought an agency in New York, and then ultimately, as I saw the business changing, sold my company to Publicis, and they were kind enough to name me chairman and CEO of the U.S., and we grew quite a bit. I started with my father with 12 people and ended up with close to 2,000 people.
Wow.
Well, for those older than, say, 40 or 50 that have been in the advertising business for a while, we all remember Bloom out of Dallas, and certainly your career, many have followed, and you've done extremely well in the later years of your advertising career. You know, the subtitle of your book, Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments, we'll get into talking about that in a moment, but The New Experts, an interesting title. So who are these so-called new experts, Bob?
They're everyone. They're your grandmother. They're your kid. They're your spouse. And they are you. They are Brad, and they are Ray, and they are Bob. Because we're all new experts, we have been empowered by the search engine to locate all information that we need about every purchase that we want, every product and every service. So we have unlimited information. And that is something that customers of old could not find. And secondly, we are empowered because we have multiple choices in every category. If Brad won't sell me, then Ray will sell me, and I know that, so I'm going to use that as a weapon. And then thirdly, we now have a smartphone that at point of sale can be used to compare everything, including price, which is the ultimate weapon. And then finally, sellers today are naked in a glass house because customers can describe their experiences, favorable and unfavorable, on social media to millions of people around the world. And most sellers don't really realize all this is happening to them.
You know, is it through just your own experience as a consumer, as we all are, even though we're advertising practitioners, that spurred you on to come up with the idea for this book, Bob?
I felt that the story had not been told to the seller, and that many sellers were feeling that the economy was hurting their business, and of course it is. And they were also feeling that when the economy lifts, and it will, that that business is going to be back at as it was before. But it won't be. All of this has happened to us all in recent times, and it's made a dramatic change in customer buying behavior and in terms of loyalty. Loyalty's been declining over the years at a precipitous rate most recently, and I would argue that today it's virtually disappeared, statistic that would support this, and that is 30 years ago, 4 out of 5 car buyers bought the same brand. And 2009, 1 out of 5 bought the same brand. Shame on those car manufacturers and dealers for not staying in touch with those customers and leading them back to their own brand when they had the address, the telephone number, the email address, and financial data and everything you would possibly want.
How true.
So, as you just said, and you say throughout your book, buyers no longer care who they buy from, and that brand loyalty is dead. You're not saying that companies like BMW and Apple, that are, you know, two examples of highly valued and very well recognized brand names, are necessarily going to get zero benefit from having such a wonderful brand?
No, not at all. There are companies, and fortunately, there are who really understand it without reading my book, I might say, but because they understand it innately. Jeff Bezos is one of them. He really understands that his business is customers. It's not stuffy selling. Zappos is another one that they acquired in the same situation with Tony Hyatt. They understand completely that their customer is everything to them, and they say frequently, if we don't have the shoe you want, we'll get it for you, and you can return it, because our goal is to have and sustain our business with customers. So there are people who do it, but their most sellers today have become too complacent and do not fully understand the revolution in buying behavior that's really hurting not only their revenue stream, but their bottom line.
You know, you mentioned Zappos, and what a wonderful example of a company that's truly built on creating that one-to-one relationship and sustaining brand loyalty after that first touch with their company. And when I read your book, I thought about going back to the well-known brands like a BMW or an Apple or other companies that we all know off the top of our head, and we know it as a good quality brand. Are there companies that can actually achieve that level of greatness with their brand and yet miss a lot of what you're saying in your book in terms of how customers are moving away from brand loyalty today?
You know, I think that there's a whole myriad of sellers out there, and they fall into a variety of categories, and some who really understand it. I mean, Steve Jobs understands it. Stanley Marcus was a person who understood it. Jeff Bezos understands it. There are far too few of those, and too many who don't understand that they must be totally aligned from front to back. And what they really think is they can get their sales force together and say, hey, guys, this is what we have to do. We have to satisfy the customer. But that isn't enough. I'll give you a quick illustration. We have a home in Italy, and I was there this summer. That's where I write my books. And my reader started getting a gray, splotchy tone on its, and so I called Amazon I said, you know, my Kindle has this funny thing. What can I do about it? I got a human being, even from Italy, spoke English quite well. He asked me to do several things. I did those things. He said, did that fix it? And I said, no. And he said to me, we're going to send you a new Kindle. And I said, that's great, but I have a question. And he said, I bet I know the questions. And what was it? It was, is my Kindle going to come with the 30 books that I have on there, because it's far more valuable? And he said, we knew you were going to ask that, and yes, it will come with those books. So this is alignment through the business. It's not just doing a better product, or giving a sales force a pep talk. It is alignment all the way through. And that's what Bezos understands, and there are some people who understand it. More people need to understand it.
It's so good to hear the upside from you, Bob, as well, because so many times we hear the downside of those relationships and lack of relationships, I should say, with a lot of service providers. Bob is the author of a book called The New Experts, Win to Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. And we're going to continue our conversation with Bob here in just a moment on The Advertising Show. And we're glad you're sticking around, too.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of
Welcome back for more here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. Bob Bloom is our special guest. Out of New York, Bob is the author, among other things, of a brand new book called The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. And, you know, the exposure that you had, obviously, in the Dallas area with Southwest Airlines many years ago, Bob, with your agency there and such. What do you think about the direction that it's heading right now? Southwest was always such a simplistic and a wonderfully focused airline, and now we have a little bit more to that dimension with the acquisition of the new airline. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that Southwest has been remarkable in sustaining what we originally created, which we call loving your customer, and it really is something that is consistent all the way through the airline. I was in Houston the other day, flying back to Dallas, and I had a wonderful experience on Southwest Airlines, and in every dimension, someone sang to us at the end, one of the flight attendants. So it's sustained that. I think the real challenge, to answer your question, is whether they can sustain that as they increase scale, and scale is critical. But there are people who do that, and it can be done. It is a challenge, and everyone has to look at it in that challenge. And once again, it has to do with alignment all the way through. It's not good for some executive to make that decision and sit in his or her lofty office. It's got to go all the way through the company and all the way through the flight attendants and all the way through the people that are loading baggage and so forth. And Southwest Airlines has really endured by and benefited from it.
They seem to be the best of the best, don't they?
No question about it. And it's in every category, hopefully, there's somebody who does that. There's a little coffee shop. Let me just give you an illustration. People listening thinking, you got to be big or you have to do fantastic things to do this. But you know, to be aligned all the way through your company, what you have to do is to create preference for your band. Because in these days where loyalty is almost non-existent, what you can do is to create preference. But you have to create preference at every decisive customer moment. And I've tried to identify four. And there's a coffee shop that opened down the street from us. Now, I don't know how many coffee shops in New York on every block. They're very successful. Of course, the coffee's good, and that's the fundamental product. It has to be great. But, you know, they give everyone a miniature little cake wrapped in cellophane with their brand on it. And I've seen little old ladies clamor for their, not just little old ladies, but everyone clamoring for this little tiny piece of cake. They want that, and they go out, and then they remember where they got it. They've created preference for their brand, and the place is jammed where other people down the street don't. Those are the little things you can do to create preference.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you say in your book that, you know, it's truly the gold mine when you can create preference, and it's the difference between your growth and your decline. So what you hear Bob talking about is well illustrated in the book. Before we get into those four decisive customer moments, which we're going to talk about each one individually here in a second. You touched upon technology as being an influential element when it comes to this change in brand loyalty. What other causes do you find that are behind this profound shift in brand loyalty among consumers today, Bob?
Well, again, I touched on one of them, and that is that this empowerment of customers today because they have access to it. You know, technology is the velocity of technology development is just remarkable. And it's only going to speed up. It's going to get faster. And as this happens, that this is something that sellers need to understand. You know, they think this is a temporary situation, but you know, the next generation of customers is going to be even more empowered because they're going to be even more agile with the technology, and they're going to have greater and greater and greater technology. On the back of my book, as you may have seen, there is a QR code. Many people don't know what that is. I'm sure you guys do, but it's simply an advanced scanner, like you go through the airport. And this holds much more data. And if you scan that on the back of my book, you can go right to my site. And what you can look ahead, this is not in the book, but I'll tell you what I envision, and that is that QR code is going to be embedded in every television commercial. Maybe not that one, but maybe the next generation QR code in every television commercial and in every print ad, so that you can sit in your easy chair at home, you see that BMW commercial, you see that you get your handheld, you scan it, and immediately they have all of your information, so they can transfer you to the dealer nearest you, and you can buy that convertible that you've always wanted right without getting out of your chair. And I think that that's going to be the future, and the future is going to be very, very soon. I would add one more thing quickly, and that is that Procter & Gamble has announced, you may have seen, that they're going to start selling certain brands and certain products direct to the consumer on the Internet, bypassing the retailer. And that's going to be a game changer of huge dimension. And I would say anyone in the middle between the seller, the ultimate the seller like Procter & Gamble, and the customer is endangered, because if using the BMW example, if I can buy that car from that dealer, why do I need a dealer?
The new book is called The New Experts Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments, and the author is Bob Bloom, our guest today out of New York here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you're enjoying the interview. We've got more coming your way here in just a moment. Love to continue our conversation here with Bob Bloom out of New York, author of the new book, The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. Bob, a pleasure to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and just continuing on what you were just talking about on that QR code, Google's next version of its Android smartphone software will support a technology that lets people use their handsets to pay for goods at restaurants and stores, something that's been going on in Asia for many years. It looks like we American consumers are finally going to be catching up in that regard, and along the lines of what you were just talking about with the QR code, I think we're going to see a whole different world right around the corner when it comes to accelerating consumer activity with regard to technology. Let's jump into a little bit about the meat of your book, and that is the decisive customer moments. If Bob, choice is why buyers fell out of love with loyalty and in love with options, most might be asking, so now what? So why don't you take us through the four decisive customer moments when marketers have the greatest influence over customers? And as you begin by saying, number one is the now or never moment.
Yes, I call it the now or never moment. Let me just emphasize that these four moments are sequential, and they're codependent. So if you don't get them at the first moment, you have no opportunity to get them the second, third, and fourth. So the first decisive moment, that's why I call it now or never moment. It's the first brief contact. Usually on the site, there's no difference between online and offline customers today. Everybody shops online, whether they buy in the brick and mortar or online. And so the customer is exactly the same, identical. And since the customer comes to you as a seller already knowing what he or she wants, already having done his or her homework, already narrowing it to two or three vendors or sellers, you don't have to sell them. In fact, I would argue that you shouldn't. What you want to create at this first brief contact is you want someone to like you. We don't buy from anybody we don't like. We want them to trust us. And finally, the seller needs to listen, because that buyer will tell you everything he or she wants, all of their emotional things, if you just ask them the right questions and just listen at the now or never moment.
And then you have the make or break moment, which of all four sounds like maybe one of the more crucial time frames here.
It is. It's the transaction process, and it's always had consideration. I'm considering buying flowers for my mother, but I really don't know where to go. And it's always had the transaction moment, the moment that the credit card slips through or the contract signed. But now the negotiation moment is a huge moment. It takes a long time, and that's a the lengthy transaction process is quite lengthy and quite difficult, and it's perilous because everything can happen. We've all had people say to us, the deal's made, the guy's going to sign it tomorrow, and then the next day they call and say, I'm sorry, it fell through, and those kinds of things happen. So you have to sustain preference from beginning at the now or never moment and through the make or break moment.
Yeah, and I might want to add as we continue through these steps that although Bob's a good ad guy, he knows not to give it all away over the show here. And this particular topic, as with several of these topics that we're talking about, he spends 25, 30 pages talking about the make or break moment and the now and never moment and the keep or lose moment, which I will leave you to read the book on. I want to shift on to the fourth most decisive customer moment, and that is the high profitable multiplier moment, Bob.
Yes, you want to get them through their usage of the product, which is that keep or lose moment, to the last one, which is the multiplier moment. I call it multiplier because you get multiple benefits from it. This is a gold mine. You got to take them through these four decisive customer moments to get to what you want. Repeat purchase. Customer churn is killing a lot of businesses, and what you want to do is to get that customer back again. Think of that statistic earlier, 4 out of 5 car buyers used to buy the same brand, and now 1 out of 5. You want that repeat customer, and what you also want is advocacy. Advocacy is, hey, Ray, you know, I ate at a great Italian restaurant the other night, Luigi's, you got to try that. That's advocacy. Sure. And then referral is an often overlooked thing. I spend a lot of time in the book, as you guys must have read, with the explanation of how you ask for a referral, what you don't ask for, when you ask it. The referral is an extraordinarily valuable thing.
You know, if as you say in your book, today's buyer is in total control of the purchase progression and is intensely self-serving and no longer cares where they buy, how does a company adjust or even, for that matter, totally modify old ways of brand building and make the shift to a new brand strategy? As I read your book, I thought in terms of how difficult sometimes it is for large companies like a ship out to sea that decides to turn, takes a long time in making that turn, and change is often hard to make when it comes to large companies. How do they do it, Bob?
First thing is, it has to have top-down commitment. If the corner office doesn't say, we're going to do this, it doesn't happen. And the second is, that's not enough. You've got to have total organizational alignment. Every piece of the business, from the delivery department to the aftercare department, every step has to be there, because you can have a great product but fall through if somehow it isn't delivered properly. So that's very important. The top-down commitment, total organizational alignment, and you really should have metrics at every one of these conversion moments. You know, I want to say again, customer churn is killing American business, and they don't know it because they're not measuring it. If you measure it, you know whether you're getting conversion at each one of these. And the really smart sellers are measuring conversion and increasing it, have as one of their goals to increase conversion every year, year after year.
Well, as I'm sure many of our listeners, if not all, can tell, you speak from experience. You speak from not theory, but from being in the trenches for decades and knowing the business. Any concluding thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with today, Bob?
The thought that I would leave them with is the business world has changed forever. And basically, I would say to sellers, get out of your seller brain, get into your customer brain. You ask about what has to be done, that's the main thing that has to be done. Sellers have to get out of the seller brain and into their buyer brain. You know, we're all buyers, and we're all sellers, and when we're sellers, we act differently than buyers. We want to sell something,
mm-hmm.
but you got to get in that customer's brain.
Perfect end to a great interview here, Bob, and we thank you so much. Go to thenewexperts.com, the website, or just go get the book. The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. A great time talking to you today, Bob, and thanks again for being here at the Advertising Show.
Well, I thank both of you, Brad and Ray, for having me, and I appreciate the invitation.
You got it. And we'll be back with more with Ray and Brad here, just a little bit more, on the Advertising Show. Stay right here. Many thanks to our guest once again today, Bob Bloom, author of The New Experts. TheNewExperts.com is the website of that book, and we hope you go out and get it just in time for holiday giving. Hey, next week we've got Jack Neff, who is a big shot at Advertising Age, the editor at large at AdvertisingAge.com, and we've got Jack on the show next week here. I'll tell you a little bit about him. Let me find Jack's bio, okay? It says, Jack is the editor at large of Ad Age. Well, I already told you that. Where he covers packaged goods marketers, Walmart, and market research. He's based near Cincinnati, where he's lived since 85, covered P&G and packaged goods marketing in various capacities for trade and business pubs since 1990, and since 1994 for Advertising Age. He lives in Batavia, Ohio. That would mean nothing to folks who don't know where Batavia, Ohio is, but I just happen to know it's a really nice town, okay? So if you ever get a chance, take your kids to Batavia and get some apple juice, apple cider, yeah, something like that. Buy a piece of Amish furniture. Who knows? Brad, here's something from USA Today. It's a KFC doing something really cool. KFC, high school seniors, yeah, that kind of connects, offering a $20,000 scholarship who tweets the best to high school seniors. Marketers may now have the answer to the question they say, what's a tweet worth? In this particular case, KFC will award $20,000 to one high schooler's college tuition for the best tweet it receives. But earlier this year, they say in this report that JetBlue gave away tickets following tweets, and actor Hugh Jackman challenged any charity to convince him with one tweet why he should give it $100,000. Of course, we entered the Advertising Show, and they found out we weren't a 501(c), but that's the way it goes. And we had to give the money back, you know, that's the way. But anyway, isn't that kind of cool for KFC?
Yeah, it's cool. Excuse me, Ray. I wanted to just follow up with your announcement on KFC. I understand that there's a government agency that's going to follow in behind that promotion and check the amount of grease on the keyboards of the various participants. And the one that has the least amount of grease that was able to tweet and yet still do the KFC promo tie-in win some additional prize, and I'm not sure what it is.
Well, KFC, get your degree in medicine, because possibly heart medicine.
You know, we said a long time ago that Willard Scott on the Today Show, I don't know why, when he announces the people over 100 that's sponsored by Smuckers, why they don't follow that with some kind of pharmaceutical product that will lower your blood sugar. I mean, it's a perfect tie-in for someone.
Well, who knows? Maybe they're on Smucker Light or something. You know, it contains no sugar. I don't know. But that's funny. That feature, by the way, is quite interesting. There was a lady whose dog turned 100, and I said, why don't you go ahead and send the dog's picture in? Maybe Willard will put the dog on. I don't know.
And so really, these people they're featuring are 700 years old in dog years.
Exactly right. So, well, basically back to KFC, 140 characters and basically getting something of value. I think it's a great idea, and it's obviously targeted to the right kind of folks. So good for KFC, which used to be called Kentucky Fried Chicken, which I understand that's actually not the same recipe that good old Colonel Sanders used to use. I think when he sold out, he sold out to somebody, whoever owns KFC now. And
Pepsi.
Okay. They don't use the same kind of formulas for the gravy or something. But there again, who cares? You want to put gravy on fried chicken, go right ahead.
I would say do an IV with the gravy. It's quicker, it's easier, it goes right where it needs to go.
One of those drip IVs, right to the heart, absolutely. And, I say that as I sit here and I eat my Chick-fil-A chicken, which is probably just as healthy.
Well, I think it's more healthy than KFC, but I'm not here to judge that, nor am I making a nutritional statement about that. Real quickly, Ray.
Well, before we do that, we got to close the show here, Brad, if that's okay.
Then real quickly next week.
Jack Neff, Advertising Age Magazine, and we hope you'll join us. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine, visit online at adwords.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.